Welcome to the Calvary Came Through broadcast from Chattanooga, Tennessee. We invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes to listen to a message from the Word of God by Evangelist Tracy Trivett. Join us now as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Calvary can come through for you.
Welcome again to the Calvary Came Through broadcast. This is Tracy Trivett. I appreciate you joining us on this Saturday afternoon. I pray that your new year has been good so far. I pray that the Word of God will be a blessing to you today. I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We're going to look at about three verses of Scripture here. And I want to share a thought with you that's brought out of verse 20, starting in verse 17, but a thought that's brought out in verse 20 out of a statement that Jesus made. I love this statement. It's a verse that's quoted so many times, but I think we need to look at it a little bit more in depth today. Starting in verse 17 of Luke chapter 10, the Bible says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now look at verse 20, what Jesus says. "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven." I want to speak to you for the next few minutes on this thought. It's all right. Go ahead and praise Him. It's all right. Go ahead and praise Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into the message. Lord Jesus, help me today, God. I pray that I would decrease and that you would increase. I pray that you would help the word as it goes out and touch someone's heart today who needs it most. Lord, if there's anyone out there who does not know you, God, give them something to rejoice over today. We'll thank you and praise you and give you all the glory for everything that's said and done. It's in your name we pray. Amen. In our world today, with all the circumstances and situations that are happening in our world, you see the recent tidal wave and the earthquakes and different things that are happening. Crime is at an all-time high. Taxes are at an all-time high. It would be easy to look at our situations and our circumstances and our surroundings and lose our shout, as one might say. It'd be easy to look at your surroundings and your circumstances and not feel like you've got any reason to rejoice. It'd be easy to see the troubles and the struggles and the trials that are happening day in and day out. And it is. Those things are evident in our lives. Everybody faces trials. Everybody faces stress. Everybody faces circumstances that are difficult. But the thing is, if I read the Word of God correctly, is that our circumstances and our surroundings shouldn't govern our shout. Our circumstances and the situations that we face should not be the thing that causes us to shout. When you read this text, you see an interesting situation going on here. Jesus had sent the disciples out and had given them power, had given them authority to do some amazing things. And had I done some of the things that they'd done, I would have been excited too. But when they come back to Jesus, they're rejoicing and they're so excited over the things that had happened in their life. They were casting out demons. They were healing people, and they were excited about it, and with good reason. But when they come back and they begin to rejoice over these things that happened, the response that they got from Jesus maybe wasn't what they expected. He says to them almost, don't shout because of the things that are happening. Don't shout because of the circumstances around you or the things that are happening, but rather shout, rather rejoice, be happy, be glad, because your names are written in heaven. Friends, the Bible tells me that if I'm a child of God, I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. If I've been born again into the family of God, if I've been saved, then I do have a reason to shout. And my good news to you today is no matter what your circumstance may be, no matter how hard the situation may be that you're in right now, the good news is you still got a reason to shout. You should be glad and be joyous today for the fact that your name is written in heaven. If you're out there and you don't know that your name's written in heaven, I got some good news for you. You could be able to shout today. Today is the best day of any that you could get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, some may say, well, preacher, I just don't want to get too excited about all these things. Even church members say, I'm just not a vocal person. Well, can I say, shame on you. If there's anybody that has a reason to shout, if there's anybody that's got a reason to rejoice, it's a child of God. If there's anybody that should be hooping and hollering and crying out praises to the Lamb, it should be somebody who was snatched out of hell by His loving grace. Listen, you may not shout. You may not want to be excited. You may not want to make noise and hoop and holler like some of us do. But if it be all right, I'm going to go ahead and do it. For those of you who need a reason, for those of you who almost feel like you need permission to shout, I know some of you got to shout welling up in your soul so big you can't stand it, but you're scared to death to say anything. I just want to give you some reasons today and say it's all right. Go ahead and praise Him. It's okay. Let that shout roll. It's all right. Spit and holler and whatever you else want to do. Listen, I'm telling you, we got a reason to rejoice. You may not be comfortable with it, but guess what? As long as I have breath and as long as I have life, I'm going to praise Him. As long as I have strength in my body, as long as I can lift my voice, I'm going to praise Him. The great hymn writer once said he was being translated through another person. He was so sick and laying on his deathbed and he was sitting behind the pulpit, and he was telling another person what to say. And the man told him, he said, "Jesus is precious." He whispered it as low as he could. And the man turned around to the congregation and said, "Jesus is precious." He turned back around, and the fellow said one more time, "Jesus is precious." And the man looked at him kind of strange, turned back around and said, "Jesus is precious." And he leaned back over to him one more time and he said, "Jesus is precious." And he said, "Sir, you've already said that." And about that time, the old man leaned up out of his bed and said, "Yes, I know I've said it, but say it again. Jesus is precious." Friends, I want to tell you, He is precious. The thing I want to do next is just give you three reasons why I'm going to praise Him. You may not want to. You may be afraid to, but just leave it up to me. I'll take care of it. I'm going to give you three reasons why I'm going to praise Him. Very, very simple thoughts, but get in with me and we'll have a good time. The first reason is I'm saved, so I'm going to praise Him. I'm saved, so I'm going to praise Him. I want you to understand that salvation is more than just a fire insurance policy. It's more than just a get-out-of-hell-free card. When I was saved, something miraculous took place in my life. The old Tracy passed away. The old person that I used to be died that day. And I was brought into a lot of different things. What was it I was brought into? Why should you rejoice because you're saved? First of all, a relationship. First John tells us that when we're saved, we're born into the family of God. Now listen, I'm glad to tell you that I'm in His family, and because of that, I can have a relationship with Him. I've been adopted. The adoption of sons is what Galatians 4:5 said. The adoption of sons. Listen, my mom and daddy had no choice when it came to me. They got me whether they liked it or not. But now, do you realize that according to the law, if they were to set aside an inheritance for me, because I'm their natural born child, if I ever made them mad, they could withdraw that inheritance from me. They don't have to give it to me. But now get this, if I'm adopted according to the law, whatever they set aside for me, whatever the inheritance may be, no matter what happens, no matter what comes, I cannot lose that inheritance if I've been adopted. Now the Bible tells me that I have an inheritance. I have something that's incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. It tells me that I can have a relationship with Him because I've been adopted. I've been picked out by Him. I've been chosen by Him. I not only have an adoption in this relationship, but I've got access in this relationship. Hebrews 4:16 said, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace." Do you realize that I can come directly to Him? I don't have to go through somebody else. I don't have to piddle my way around trying to earn my way into His presence. I don't have to beg my way into His presence. I have access. Now, I've got some boys in my Sunday school class, and if they want to come to me, if they wanted to call me, they'd have to go through a phone, they'd have to go through a letter, they'd have to go through different channels to get to me. But now my son, he can come to me at any time for any reason. Why? Because he has a relationship with me. He's my child, therefore he has access to me. He can come to me at any time because of this relationship. Why do you shout, preacher? Why are you so excited? Because I'm saved, so I'm going to praise Him. I've got a relationship, so I'm going to praise Him. I've been adopted, so I'm going to praise Him. I've got access, so I'm going to praise Him. But not only do I have a relationship, but I want to tell you about my renewal. All things are made new. When I got renewed, I got cleansed. He said in Colossians 2:13 that I've been quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Hey, my mom and daddy may never forget what I used to do. My wife may never forget how I used to treat her, how I used to be. But hey, since I'm in Christ, I've been renewed. I've been cleansed. Oh, I have the forgiveness of all my trespasses. The world and my friends may never forget, but hallelujah, the Holy Spirit will nudge up to me every now and then and say, hey, we've forgotten all about them. I have been cleansed, but not only that, friend, I have been changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. There's something new about the old you, Tracy. What's different about you? How is it that you're not like you used to be? What made the difference in your life? It was this renewal. It was this relationship. Why do you praise Him, preacher? Why do you get so excited? Because I'm saved, so I'm going to praise Him. I'm saved, so I'm going to praise Him. This past September of 2004, I celebrated 10 years ago that I got saved. And I had the blessed privilege of going back to that place where I got born again, a little bitty church out in the middle of nowhere. And it's... somebody's bought it and turned it into a warehouse now, but they allowed me to come in and I got to walk around that warehouse that used to be the church where I got saved. And that day I walked the same walk that I'd walked 10 years ago, and I knelt down to what is now an imaginary altar, and I was reminded one more time that I'm saved. I was reminded one more time that I've got a relationship with Him. I was reminded one more time that I've got a renewal because I'm saved. Hey, I've been adopted. I've got access. I've been cleansed. That I've been changed. I'm saved, so I'm going to praise Him. Not only that, I want you to see, secondly, I'm secure, so I'm going to praise Him. He says that our names are written, not will be written, or shall be, or maybe possibly by some coincidence you get written, but it says that they are written. That is in present tense. That tells me that my name is there. I like the song, I know, I truly know. My name is written there. What does it tell me, the fact that my name is written there? First of all, it reminds me of my reservation. First Peter calls it an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled. Revelations 3:5 says that I will not blot out His name out of the book of life. John 10:28 says, neither shall any man pluck Him out of my hand. Thank God I am secure. Do you realize that I cannot go to hell? Do I deserve hell? Absolutely. I should be there with my back broke. But thanks be to God, I made my reservation one day, and I know that I'm secure. I know that my name has been written in that book. It is my reservation. We're not kept by what we do, but by the power of God. Had it been up to me to secure my salvation, had it been up to me to settle that thing that happened in my life, I'd be hopeless tonight. But I'm kept by Him. I'm in His hand. No man can pluck me out of His hand. He cannot remove my name from the Lamb's book of life. I am secure, so I'm going to praise Him. Not only is there my reservation, but notice my rest. I'm able to rest in this blessed knowledge. Charles Spurgeon once told of a dream that he had. He dreamed that he died and he went to heaven. And he was standing outside the gates and he thought to himself, of all people, I don't deserve to be here. Surely I can't enter. And about that time he saw a crowd marching into the city with banners raised to the sky, their voices singing praises. And as they walked in, he went to the keeper of the gate and he said, who are these people? And he said, those are the patriarchs who have served Christ throughout the years. Spurgeon said his heart began to break as he thought, I'm no patriarch. I haven't done the things that they've done. And about that time, another group came marching into the city, and as he looked on this other group, they were bigger, and they were louder, and their banners raised higher than the previous group. And he ran to the keeper of the gate, and he said, who are these people? And the keeper said, these are the martyrs who gave their life for the service of Christ. Spurgeon fell down on the curb outside the city and he began to weep and he said, I'm no martyr. I never gave my life for Christ. And before he could ever see them, he felt the curb begin to rumble. Before he could ever see them, he heard their songs and he saw their banners start coming over the hill. And it was a crowd that no man could number. And as he began to look at the crowd as they came up to the city, He looked and he thought to himself, surely that can't be him. No, how is it possible that he's going into the city? That's that old drunk that I witnessed to on the street one night. How is it that he can enter in? He looked a little further and he said, it can't be her. That's that old prostitute that stumbled into one of my meetings and got born again. How is it she can enter? He ran back to the keeper of the gate and he said, who are these people? And the man said, these are those who have washed their garments in the blood of the Lamb. Spurgeon began to leap on his feet and shout for joy. And said, I too have washed my garments in the blood of the Lamb. I too can now enter the city. Friend, I'm here to tell you, I've been saved. I am secure. I will one day enter that city. Soon and very soon, I'm going to see my King. Thank God I'm secure. Thank God I'm saved. Why do you shout? Why do you get so excited over all this religion stuff? Why do you get so fired up when somebody mentions the name of Jesus? Hey, it's because I'm saved. Hey, it's because I'm secure. So I'm going to praise Him. I've been adopted. I've got access. I've been cleansed. I've been changed. I've got a reservation. Therefore, I can rest in this knowledge that I've been changed. Not only, I want you to see thirdly and lastly, that I have been saved, so I'm going to praise Him, and that I'm secure, so I'm going to praise Him, but I want you to notice lastly, I'm satisfied, so I'm going to praise Him. Now, as a preacher, I'm not supposed to know about this, but some of you out there may remember the Rolling Stones. Some of you may remember Mick Jagger and how they tore into America with bad hair and bad teeth and sang their famous song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. Well, I don't know about Mick Jagger, and I don't know about the Rolling Stones, but I'm here to tell you, I found a way to get some satisfaction. It wasn't in the bottom of a bottle. It wasn't in money. It wasn't in popularity. It wasn't in friends. Hey, I've tried all that. I've tasted all that. And let me tell you something, all it does is leave you more and more empty. But praise be to God, one night in June, I was sitting by my brother's couch. It became a cathedral. And I knelt down and I found that thing that I'd been longing for. I found that person that I had been needing, that satisfaction that I couldn't find in nothing else. I found in Him. I am satisfied. I used to feel the same way as the Stones did. I used to feel the way that a lot of people do in this world. There's people all around us in our workplaces, in our homes, even in our churches, people who are looking for some fix. They're looking for something to try to fill that void in their life, and they're coming up empty time and time and time again. Friends, let me go ahead and save you some time. You can't find no satisfaction in this world. You can't find satisfaction in friends or even in family. You can't find it in money or in popularity. There's only one place to get the satisfaction that your soul's longing for, and that's in Jesus. There's only one place to fill that void, and that's Jesus. There's only one way to fill that gap in your heart. There's only one way to quench that hunger and that desire that's in your life, and it's Jesus. So you say, where do I find it? As the words of Christ tell us in this chapter, I believe a good idea where you can find some satisfaction. Read it again, verse 20. He said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather because your names are written in heaven. Now look at that word written. What it literally means, the translation, is to enroll as a citizen. That word written that he uses in verse 20 in the context literally means to be enrolled as a citizen. This past election, it was my pleasure to go and vote. And when I got there, I had to prove that I was a citizen of the place where I was voting. I had to show them my driver's license and my voter's registration card. I had to prove to them that I had been enrolled as a citizen of the city of Chattanooga. I had to prove it to them. You say, preacher, is your name written? Yes, it is. Well, then you've been enrolled. What proof do you have? I think it was best said by the songwriter. You asked me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. You asked me how I know that my name's written, because I have this blessed book that promises me that His word is true, that I do have a reservation, that my name has been written. Well, if I'm enrolled as a citizen of that place, if I'm enrolled as a citizen in heaven, as He says, where my name is written, well then, what is available to me? Here in my city, I've got a lot of resources available to me because I'm a citizen of this city. Well, if I'm a citizen of that heavenly city, that country whose builder and maker is God, what is available to me as a citizen of that country? Well, I can tell you, first of all, what's not going to be there, there's going to be no tears, Revelation 21:4. There's going to be no death, Revelation 21:4 again. There's going to be no sorrow, 21:4. No pain, Revelation 21:4. No sin, Revelation 21:8. No sinners, Revelation 21:8. No sun, because Jesus will be the light. That's S-U-N. Revelation 21:23. No night, Revelation 21:25. No curse, Revelation 22:3. That's what won't be there. But look at what will be there. God with His people in Revelation 21:3. The Lamb with His people in Revelation 22:23. Jasper walls, Revelation 21:11 and 12. Pearly gates, Revelation 21:21. Golden streets, Revelation 21:21. The redeemed will be there. I'm in that number, Revelation 21:24. The glory of God will be there, Revelation 21:23. It will be home, as John described it in chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Listen, He told me, He promised me over and over in this blessed book that if I would trust in Him, if I would call on Him, then my life would be changed, that my heart would be saved, that my name would be written in heaven. Listen, why do you shout? Because my name is there. Why do you shout? Because I know that I've been saved. I know that I'm secure. And thank God I've been satisfied because my name's written there. I don't have to look for hope in this world anymore. I don't have to look for anything to satisfy my soul in this world anymore. I have found all that I need in Him. I found all that I need in His promise that my name is there. Listen, I shout every time just about when I go to a restaurant, we make our reservation, and they call my name. They'll say, "Trivet! Party of three." I'm waiting on that day when He'll holler at me and He'll call my name and it's time to fill that reservation. I'm looking forward to that day. I am saved, so I'm going to praise Him. I am secure, so I'm going to praise Him. And I am satisfied, so I'm going to praise Him. In a world full of uncertainty and sorrow, it can be easy to lose your shout, friend. You may be in a circumstance or a trial right now where it seems like there's no end to the suffering. It seems like there's no end to your pain. It seems like there's no end to the struggle and to the strife. Friend, I got good news for you. This world will try to rob your shout. The devil will try to rob your joy. But if you are a child of God, if you know that your names are written in heaven, hey, it's all right. Go ahead and praise Him. It's okay. Go ahead and love on Him. It's all right. Go ahead and brag on Him. Hey, I'm saved, so I'm going to praise Him. I'm secure, so I'm going to praise Him. And I am satisfied, so I'm going to praise Him. Listen, I want to tell you today, friend, if you don't know for sure that your name has been written in heaven, the Scriptures are clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there's none righteous, no, not one. But it also tells me that God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever, boy, I like that word, that includes me, that whosoever will believe in thine heart, that we can be saved. It said that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you shall, you will, you have to be saved. If you don't have that blessed assurance, if you don't have that security, if you can't rest in that, if you don't know for sure, friend, it's very simple. Christ died for you. Christ loved you so much that He took your pain and your punishment that you could be born again. All you have to do is believe in your heart, confess your sins, admit that you're a sinner, and call out on His name for forgiveness. Call out on His name to save your soul from hell. I promise you, with me, you'll be able to sit back and say, "I'm saved, so I'm going to praise Him. I'm secure, so I'm going to praise Him. And I'm satisfied, so I'm going to praise Him." That's enough of that. How about you, Christian? Maybe you've lost your shout somewhere. Somewhere you lost sight of what He's done for you. We sing a song here at our church that says, "I've never got over that I'm not under the bondage of sin anymore." Friend, I don't ever want to get over the fact that He saved me. I don't ever want to get over the fact that He loved me. I don't ever want to get over over His grace. I don't ever want to get over His mercy. And because of that, I remind myself I'm saved, so I'm going to praise Him. I remind myself that I'm secure, so I'm going to praise Him. And I remind myself that I am satisfied, so I'm going to praise Him. Have you lost your shout? Have your circumstances begin to rob your shout from you, to take your joy? Well, can I remind you one more time about that day, that place, that time, that hour where you trusted on His name and He saved your soul? Oh, go back to that place as I did. Go back to that time. Kneel down in that place one more time and say, I remember. I remember. Praise your name. I remember. I'm saved and I'm secure. And thank God I'm satisfied. Oh, I hope you haven't lost your shout. If you have, that's all right. I'm still going to praise Him. And it's all right. You go ahead and praise Him. If anybody has anything to rejoice about, friend, it's me and you. Oh, I love the fact that the disciples were able to do these great and mighty things. And this radio broadcast is a great and mighty thing. We're excited about what God's doing. It's a pleasure and a privilege and such a blessing to be able to go in churches and in jails and in missions and preach this blessed book. It's a joy and an honor to have a great church like I have. I'm thankful for my family and for my friends. But notwithstanding all of that, rejoice not in that, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Praises to the Lamb forever and ever and ever and ever. I'm saved, so I'm going to praise Him. I'm secure, so I'm going to praise Him. And I'm satisfied, so I'm going to praise Him. I thank you for your time this week. I pray that God's Word has been a help and a blessing to you. And I pray that your shout has been just stirred up just a little bit. Maybe you're driving down the road and you just need to let out a big war hoot right now and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I'm saved. Thank you that I'm secure. And thank you for satisfying my soul. Maybe you're lost out there and you don't know for sure. Friend, I promise you the same Jesus that reached down to me, who picked me up out of that miry clay and set my feet on that solid rock, is the same Jesus who will reach to you no matter where you are, where you've been, what you've done. His grace is still sufficient. His love is still enough. He will reach to you. He can touch your heart. Oh, I promise you, you'll have something to shout about along with me. And I hope, let me just say this, and this is free of charge. I hope some of you that are scared to shout get stuck next to me in heaven, because I want to see it when you start running the streets of gold and shouting praises to the Lamb forever. I want to see it when you cast your crowns at His feet and you say, thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm saved, and for all eternity I'm going to be elbowing you going, that's all right. Go ahead and praise Him. That's okay. Go ahead and worship Him. Friend, I appreciate your time. I pray that God's Word has been a blessing to you. Tune in next week as Brother Ronnie Brown will bring the message and how we can share with you one more time how Calvary can come through for you. God bless you.
That's when
it is our prayer that today's message has been a help and blessing to you. If you would like a copy of today's message, it is available on cassette for a gift of $5 and on CD for a gift of $10. To place an order or to contact Brother Tracy, write to Calvary Came Through, care of Temple Baptist Church, 3204 Clio Avenue, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37407. Please enclose your gift along with the name of the message and the date of the broadcast. You can also email Brother Tracy at tracytrivett@peoplepc.com. That's TRACYTRIVETTE @peoplepc.com. Please join us again next week at this same time as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Calvary can come through for you.